So, hello, and today we're going to talk about bad bosses. How to deal with a bad boss. You know, I think we pretty much all had these folks in our lives, you know, fools who don't know what they're doing, who treat us poorly. You know, maybe it was a teacher or a parent, or maybe we're the bad boss. You know, it could be that you're self-employed or retired and really bad at bossing yourself around. I know I've had this in my life, you know, the incompetent managers, I had one guy, I swear he had Tourette's. All that came out of his mouth was curses. And if by some magic you've loved every boss you've ever had, the solution that we're going to talk about today, the answer also works when we have trouble with work in general. You know, because I think for all of us, there comes some point, there's some part of our job where we're just like, you know, work just sucks. It does. And how do we get past that to something wonderful and flourishing in this life? That's what we're looking at today. But I got to warn you right from the start, you might not like the answer. Yeah, it's not an easy answer. It's not simple like, you know, count to 10 and smile and picture your boss in their underwear. No, this is not, it's not all, you know, rainbows and unicorns. It's not warm and fuzzy today. But I will tell you that it totally works. The answer that we're going to look at absolutely transforms lives, makes them better. There is joy on the other side. It works 100% guaranteed or your money back. And how am I so confident that it works? I'll tell you. It's because the Apostle Paul, he rolled this thing out, and when he talked about it, he basically rolled it out with slaves. That was his test audience. And it worked with slaves. Think about your life. Your life might be hard. You might have a bad boss that stinks. Your work might seriously suck. But you ain't no slave. You're not. You can quit. You can walk away from your job, and you won't get beaten or killed because you're a runaway slave. This deal, it worked for slaves. It totally did. It made their lives better in so many ways. It can work for us. It can transform our lives. Now, maybe the nerd in me, for the sake of historical accuracy, has to say that when Paul was talking, first century slavery was way different than the African slave trade that cursed this country. Back then, slavery wasn't racial. It wasn't along racial lines. It wasn't permanent, and slaves had rights. People, folks even sold themselves into slavery in order to have a guaranteed income, a better life. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the slavery of student loans that we've got going on today in America. And also, I want to say from the start, he's absolutely not saying that slavery is okay. No, he's talking about how do you live in this world, in the real world, in a world that where things are wrong, that you have a bad boss. How do we deal with that? All right, so let's get to the solution, right? How do we deal with a bad boss, with work that stinks? How can something wonderful come out of that? Well, the answer is in our Bible. So grab your Bible. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. It's page 816 on the Bibles we got here. Let's pray, and then we'll take a look at the answer. So God, I welcome you here even more. Holy Spirit, come. We need you and your presence. We need your love, God. Come and bring that and change us as we see more and more of you today. God, I pray for real change in our lives, not just here at church, but actually in the places that we work, the places where we are students, the parts where we respond to your call. Come and change us today. Amen. All right, so big picture here. What Paul is doing in Ephesians is he's telling us how to live our lives. In verse 15, he starts out, be very careful then how you live. And he says, don't be fools, don't get drunk, because that leads to debauchery. Instead, verse 18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. And he tells us what that looks like. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's full of emotion and worship and thanks to God. And some of us know what we're talking about. You know, you come here to sing the songs and you get tears in your eyes and the tingles down your spine, and that's part of it. But there's more. Being filled with the Holy Spirit also includes, verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. What? Did we see that coming? Being a Spirit-filled follower of Jesus, it's not just all emotion and tears. It's also having our actual lives changed. Yeah, it's this progressive transformation of our whole lives, particularly our relationships with other people, how we get along with one another. And so Paul, he unpacks that in detail. He talks about what that looks like in our marriages, what it looks like with our parents and with our kids, and yeah, at work, as employees, with bosses, even bad bosses. And we'll look at that in just a second. But I want you to notice here that this is different than what we usually talk about in church or in Christian literature or with other followers of Jesus, because most of the time, what we're focused on is how to follow Jesus in the evenings and on weekends. And Paul is saying, remember, this following Jesus is a full-time gig, 24/7, and it absolutely includes your work. On the job, you are following Jesus. So at work, what does it look like to deal with a bad boss, to have work that stinks? How can something wonderful come out of that? Well, let's jump down into chapter 6, verse 5. Chapter 6, verse 5, slaves. Obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. All right, this is good stuff, but it is hard. Basically, Paul's saying, how do you deal with a bad boss, with work that stinks? Well, you just flip the whole thing upside down, and you work with God as your boss. God is your boss. Whether you realize it or not, you need to act like God is your actual boss. And the Holy Spirit will give you the power to flip that so you can live that way. So let's break this down, okay? Let's break it down. Start out, God is our real boss. Now, where did it say that? I'm so glad you asked. We're going to look, actually, two of the principles about work that Paul talks about show us that. So first off, we're going to go back to verse 6. Obey then, not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God. Doing the will of God. Do you see the flip there? I mean, maybe you work for McDonald's or Menards or Minnesota Power, and you think when you are working, you're doing their work. No, you're not. You're doing God's work, the will of God. Now, careful here. If you're like a Nazi in a concentration camp, you're not doing the will of God. Not when you're doing evil, you're not. But all the other work, that's God's work. No matter how boring or menial you might think it is, it's God's work. Do we think that's true? Do we live like that's true? Well, let's say you go into a bookstore. We still have bookstores, right? You go into Barnes & Noble, and you see a brand new book there, a big display, and the book is called Called to Serve the Lord. What's that book about? Is that book about me? It could be. You know, I used to be a big shot corporate attorney, biotech executive, and I left my regular job to become a pastor here in the middle of nowhere, called to serve the Lord. Is that book about pastors and missionaries and the like? Well, if that book has a biblical view of work in it, that book, Called to Serve the Lord, it's about you. If you're a follower of Jesus, it's just as much about you as it is about me. When you see that, you go, oh, wait, they wrote my story. That's about me too. Do we work like that's true? Like our work is a calling? Or do we work like our work is a curse? We're just working for the weekend, you know? It's just about the leisure, you know? That's where our real life is, our time off. That's not called to serve the Lord. That's not how we would live. All right, second principle here, verse 7. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do. Okay, pretty simple. You work for the person who signs your paycheck. Do you see the flip here? I mean, whether your paycheck says Essentia Health or St. Luke's, whether it says UMD or ISD 709, whether your paycheck comes from St. Louis County or the city of Duluth, no matter where your paycheck comes from, you get paid by God. See that? You get paid by God. Now, how does God do that without a checking account? It's pretty simple, actually, how he does it. He can do it both in our economy and in his economy. In our economy is based on the world he created. He created it. All the good stuff, every good thing comes from him, from God, everything that lasts. And then in his economy, in the kingdom of God, he has promised us, we see it over and over again in Scripture, that there's going to be a final judgment / reward ceremony. Yay! That's coming. But even now, his kingdom is breaking through. Even now, we get paid in this world. We totally do. And we get paid in a currency that really matters. We get paid with things like joy and peace and love, with real satisfaction, real meaning and purpose in our lives. Do you think it's true that God pays us with those? Have you experienced that, felt that in your life? Well, maybe you've heard about these studies. These, I guess they're economic, psychological studies of pay. What motivates people to get paid? And what they found out is us humans, we are motivated by getting paid money up to a certain level, which is basically when it meets all of our basic needs. And then after that, money doesn't actually motivate us that much anymore. Well, if that's true, then what does motivate us? You know, so many of us are working so hard at our jobs. We are sacrificing our time and our health and our families. We're working so hard to succeed. I know I have been there. What is it that's driving us? You know, the money's nice, but how we really get paid? That's because we get meaning and purpose and identity out of our jobs. They define us and we take pride in them. That's how we get paid. Does anyone know what I'm talking about here? Am I the only workaholic here? Anyone else? A few people are willing to admit it. Thank you. And if that's where we're at, we really need to be honest about why do we work? Are we working just for the money? Are we working for the purpose and meaning that those jobs give us, that they define us? Or are we working for God and we're trusting that he can meet all our needs, including our needs for meaning and purpose, all of that? Yeah, I don't know where you're at exactly with all this, but I tell you, in my life, this has been a struggle, and it's been a slow change as God has flipped things. But as I have worked more and more for God, oh, my life has been so much better. God pays really, really well. Now, let me say, we should get even more practical about this, because what does it really mean to work for God? You know, Paul shows us what it looks like. He like lays it out there. So let's take a look at that. And I love how the Bible does this. The Bible is such a practical book. You know, the Bible should be called Life for Dummies. They should have a big yellow cover on it. Life for Dummies Bible. And the Bible really, it does keep it simple for people that are slow, like me. And one way that it does that is the things that are important, it repeats them over and over and over again. So here, we're seeing the passage was telling us that we need to obey, we need to serve our earthly bosses, right? We need to serve them as you would obey Christ, as slaves of Christ, as if you were serving the Lord. See, when we are working for our earthly boss, it's also we are working for our real boss, for God. See, I told you this was hard. This isn't easy to get our minds around. It's basically God is saying to you, you work for me. I am, if you're a follower of Jesus, I'm your boss. You do my will. You don't work for people. Oh, and how do you work for me, God? Oh, by working for those people. As when you serve that earthly boss, you serve me. Whoa. But that flip, seeing that in our lives, that makes all the difference. It changes everything. It works. Now, I'm guessing that there's all kinds of different reactions to that truth here in this room right now. Some of us actually get excited about that. We're like, well, wait a minute, when I'm working for God. When I'm fixing cars or serving food or seeing patients, that's worshiping God. That's so tangible. Yeah, let's go. Others of us are like, wait a minute. You don't know. There's got to be an exception for my boss. My boss seriously stinks. This can't be true. And no, unless your boss is telling you to do things that are wrong, there is no exception. No exception for incompetent fools. No exception for bossy know-it-alls. No exception for passive-aggressive jerks. Nope. But we can do this, and we'll get in a minute to where the power comes from to actually do it. But first, let's keep pressing into this, how it actually looks in the real world. How does this play out in practice? Let's go back again to verse 5. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, or with a genuine heart, basically with pure motives. One really great way to deal with a bad boss is to check our motives. What? Be honest about what really are my motives. How about this? If you work an honest day work, you know, you put in a really great day of work. You work hard and your boss just doesn't notice. Actually, they never notice. No one ever notices. There's never any applause. There's never any rewards. There's never any promotion. None of that. How does that make you feel? Because that tells us a bit about our motives, right? Do we get hooked by that? Do we start to get angry and bitter? Maybe buy one of those little voodoo dolls of our boss and start poking the pins in there? Da, 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 da. That shows us, it helps show us who we're working for. Are we working for that boss? Are we expecting what they give us to feed us, or maybe the money we make from that boss? Or, on the other hand, when this happens, are we like, well, yeah, I'm disappointed that my boss doesn't notice what a great job I'm doing? But do we feel like it doesn't really matter? Because in a million years, we're only going to have one boss, Jesus. He's the only boss that lasts. And even now, it only really matters what Jesus thinks. So today, we can just do our best and relax and feel his love. Those are the kind of pure motives we're talking about. What kind of motives do we have at work? And again, let me tell you that this actually works in the real world. I know about this college student, actually a med student. And you know, there's a lot of pressure to get good grades if you're going to med school, right? And so that motivated him, right? All the pressure and the fear, it got him to work hard. And he got into this pattern where he would really procrastinate. And then he would just cram and cram and cram and work on the tests and do the work. And then he'd be exhausted and he'd procrastinate again and cram. And it wasn't going so good. So then Jesus gets a hold of him, and his motives change. He's like, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to study for Jesus. I'm actually going to try to master the material as best as I possibly can so I can be the best doctor I can be for Jesus. And his life changes. He starts to rest and set boundaries, and what happens in the short term is his grades go down. But in the long term, boy, do they go up. And he ends up being an exceptional doctor for Jesus because he had rest and happiness and a connection to Jesus in his life. This stuff actually works. All right, let's look at another practical application of this. Verse 6. Obey then not only to win their favor when their eye is on you. Okay, this is simple. You know, work hard when no one's looking. This doesn't take much explanation. Let's just look at our real lives. Do we work harder when the boss is looking or when we're alone? You know, I think lots of us, right, especially if we despise our boss, we don't work as hard when no one's looking. And there's Jesus who's saying, hey, buddy, let's flip this thing. You work for me, and I'm always looking. And by the way, Jesus isn't saying that in like a big brother, like I'm always watching you kind of way. No, Jesus is saying that in like a family business. Hey, join the family business. I'm with you. We're doing this together kind of way. How do we respond to Jesus? This week at work, how will we respond? How much of our work time will be spent not actually working, socializing, goofing off, surfing, whatever? This is really practical stuff. All right, next, verse 7. Serve wholeheartedly, or serve with zeal, eagerness, work with enthusiasm. Now, to clarify, I think a lot of us, when we start working, we're enthusiastic. We're enthusiastic about getting paid. And we're enthusiastic about our jobs, about making our mark and making a difference and being successful. I know I've been there. But that enthusiasm, let me tell you, it doesn't last. It always fades and ends. And that's not the enthusiasm we're talking about here. Remember, we all are called by God. We all do God's work. Our work is God's work. And it doesn't matter what our work is, whether pastors, church planners, carpenters, you know, accountants, janitors, whatever we do, we are called by God to do his work. Remember that old movie, Chariots of Fire? Last week, Brian talked about it, Chariots of Fire. I actually, I tried to watch it with my kids, and they fell asleep. It's a really, really slow movie, which is ironic that the movie is so slow because it's a movie about competitive running. But it is, and it's about these two guys from the UK who are trying to like win the gold medal in the 1924 Olympics, and they're going for it, and they both have the same job, they do the same work. And one of the guys, his name is Eric Leland, he was a missionary kid, right? And his family's a little concerned that he's not going to answer his call to be a missionary in China. And here's what Eric says. He says, "You've got to understand, I believe God made me for China, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." Boom. That's the kind of enthusiasm we're talking about, feeling God's pleasure. Well, the other runner, a guy named Harold Abrams, he says something different. He says about this, "I've never known contentment. I'm forever in pursuit, and I don't know what it is I'm chasing." All right, let's be honest with ourselves. When we do our work, whatever our work is, right? We're building houses, we're balancing the books, we're mopping floors, whatever the work we do, how do we feel? These guys here. Do we feel like, oh my goodness, I feel the pleasure of God when I do this work. I am in the zone. I am doing what I was meant to do. People are like, what's going on in that cubicle? There's so much excitement. Is that us? Or do we feel like, oh, I just work like a dog, and I don't know why. And there just is no joy, and there's really no contentment in it. Of these two jokers, which one do we feel more like? If we feel more like Harold, I mean, it tells us a lot about who we're working for. Maybe we're still working for the money. We're trading our life for money. Or maybe we're still working for our job to define us, to show us who we are and, you know, give us our place in this world. Now, it's also possible that we just don't know the job that goes with our gifts, who God made us to be. But I'll tell you, that's way more rare than we think it is. Again, this all comes back to, who are you working for? Are we actually working for God? Are we actually doing his work? What's going on in our lives? All right, quickly, verse 8. The Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And then if you jump down, there is no favoritism with him. Before we move on, we are talking about bad bosses, but sometimes that bad boss, it's us, it's you, it's me, we are the bad boss. And a big part of that is we don't see the principle here that all God's employees are equal. I mean, thank God slavery is illegal in this world. There's still plenty of human trafficking, but thank God that's gone. The thing that's really common, though, in so many of our workplaces is that there is a hierarchy. There is basically a caste system in our workplaces. And here's just one example. I love the medical profession, but you can see it there, right? You got your, like, top doctors, the surgeons and the specialists. Then you got the, family practice doctors and the internists, the pediatricians. And then you got the residents. And below that, there's the nurses and therapists. Then you got staff and administrators and orderlies. And then way down there, housekeeping. It's a pecking order, right? And people know how to tell people below them that they are below them. And maybe you've seen this, like how a nurse, right? The doctor is given the orders and they're paying so close attention to every little detail. And then they turn away and they don't even make eye contact with the folks from housekeeping. And I'm not trying to pick on nurses. I love nurses. My mom's a nurse. We see this in so many different workplaces. Why? It's because we don't all work for God. And a lot of people don't believe the truth of the Bible, that there is equal dignity in all work, whether it's emptying bedpans or doing heart surgery. It's all equal for God. We're serving God. We all workers have equal dignity. Can we press into that in our workplace? Can we see ways to treat others equally with equal dignity? This week at work, can you just have coffee with someone that's maybe not at the same place that you're at? All right, this gives us a picture. Paul's painting this picture of what this looks like in the real world, to play out what it looks like to actually have God as our boss. And I mean, it's a pretty compelling picture. We can actually put this into practice. The real question is, can we do it? Can we do it? Can we actually flip this thing and have God as our actual boss? Well, in one way, it's really hard. I can't do it on my own. No way, and I really want it, right? I've had an unhealthy relationship to work. I want transformation and continued healing in my life. I want to have a wonderful, life-giving relationship with my work. And the solution's pretty simple, right? It's pretty clear. It's just a question of where does the power come from to actually do it. Let's start here with Paul. When Paul's telling slaves they need to obey, right? Paul says to the slaves, slaves, obey your earthly masters. Paul is also talking to himself. Because over and over again, Paul calls himself a slave. He says he's a servant of Christ. And that Greek word that's used there for slave, it's the same word that's actually more often it's translated as servant. Paul, the point is, Paul sees himself as part of this. He thinks humans can actually do this. And Paul is particularly focused on one human who actually did it. Where we are in the Bible is in Ephesians, right? Ephesians right there. If you actually turn your Bible just one page, just flip it over, you get to Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 2, Paul is talking about Jesus. And he says this about Jesus. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking on the very nature of a servant, slave, same word, slave, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Where does the power come from to do this? Well, we already saw it in Ephesians 5:21 when it said, submit to one another out of reverence or awe for Christ. We get the power by looking to see what Jesus did to us or for us. By looking to see what he did, letting that go deep, letting the Holy Spirit use what Jesus did for us to change us, to transform us. We'll never have a healthy relationship with work. If we want our relationships at work, if we want to find real joy at work, we got to start here with realizing that Jesus served us. Jesus was our slave. He served us by going to the cross and dying in our place. He served us by going to hell in our place. We need to be like overwhelmed in awe of that extraordinary fact that the King of the universe would come and die for us, serve us in that way. That's a really big deal. How has it changed us? It should change. It should change how we think, our intellect. It should change how we see the world. It should change our emotions. You know, how once we feel that incredible love, it changes everything. And it should change how we act. Because seeing what Jesus did should change what we do. See, letting this go deep, actually really understanding what Jesus did on that cross for us, that's what flips this thing and makes God our boss. We wouldn't have any other boss. That's what makes this work. And thankfully, the Holy Spirit is really, really good at doing this flip inside of us. All we need to do really is open ourselves up and let him do this in us. And we can, even today. Even today, we can ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come, change me. Let me better understand what Jesus did on the cross. Let me change who's my boss. And you can actually put this on your calendar. You can schedule time with God doing this, like time to read your Bible and read the stories of what Jesus did on the cross, time to, I don't know, go for a walk and talk to God about it, or journal about what the cross is and how he served you. You can totally do this, and it is well worth doing. But I want to tell you that this whole business is not just something we do in the evenings and on weekends. Monday morning, or whenever the next time you go to work. When you get up and you have to go in to work for some fool that you despise and you don't want to go, or maybe you're okay with your boss, but you're just like, I am sick of my work. It is a pain. It seems pointless. How are you going to get up and go and serve that fool and do that work you don't want to do? How are you going to do it really well as though you were doing it for Jesus? Easy. We're going to think about what Jesus did for us on the cross. The minute that boss starts to irritate us or we start to slack off, we're going to say, Holy Spirit, come and show me what Jesus did on the cross.
The Bible says that Jesus died for us while we were yet his enemies. We're not just fools that he dies for. We're his enemies. He dies for his enemy. He serves us well. He gives it all to serve us. Wow, that is incredible love. To feel that love, to experience that love, what that does is make us want to love him back. And Jesus' love language is he wants to see us transformed to be like him, beautiful like him. Now, come on, we'll never be like Jesus, right? He went to hell for his enemies. But with Jesus' help, we can serve the fool, right? We can work and do our work really, really well. And again, the test is what happens at work when we're actually doing the work there. Now, don't get me wrong. It is well worth coming to a place like this and talking about God. And it's well worth, you know, spending time to go for that walk with God and talk to him, or, you know, have extended times where we listen to the Holy Spirit and he changes. That's really good to do. Well worth it. And it's well worth it to do this with other people, right? To have other people that challenge us and encourage us. And, you know, if this whole work business is stirring stuff up in you, I would really encourage you, get involved in one of these Seeing God at Work groups that we're doing. Brian talked about them last week. You basically get some friends, coworkers together, and you spend, for 6 weeks, you spend like 45 minutes once a week. You watch a video, you talk about the Bible, and you look at some questions that really help us figure out this whole Jesus and work thing. Put it into practice. If God's nudging you towards that, go to the website, sign up for that, do that. It's well worth doing, all that stuff. But I got to tell you, what we do at church, what we do at small group, that's helpful. But where it really matters is what we do at work. This week, when you are at work, wherever your workplace is, will we press into this? Will we actually work like we work for God? Will we serve our earthly boss as though we were serving Jesus? Come on, let's not settle. Let's not settle for suffering with a bad boss or work that stinks. Let's not settle for slacking off or being workaholics. Life, you know, so much of our life is spent working. It's such a big, important part of our lives, and Jesus wants to transform that part of our lives for there to be beauty there, for something wonderful to come out of that, for us to work for God, for him to reward us richly. That's what we're after. I'll tell you what, why don't you stand up with me and let's talk to God more about this. Let's talk to him about how we can each press into this in our lives. So God, I welcome you here even more. Holy Spirit, come right now and speak to each and every one of us. And God, I want to just start out by saying, you know, work is a big deal in our lives and none of us are Jesus. So we all got issues when it comes to our work, wherever we're at. I mean, we might be retired, we might be students, you're calling all of us to work in some way, and none of us have a perfectly healthy relationship. So let's just start from where we are. God, help us to start from wherever we are, whatever dysfunction or things that are broken there, whether we, you know, whether we overwork or whether we underwork, whatever our problem is, God, however it's gone off the rails, help us just to be honest about where we are and stop denying it. Stop like putting up walls in our life like, hey, I'm good Sunday morning, so it doesn't matter how the rest of the... No. God, break those walls down. Let us be honest about what's actually happening when we're on the job, when we're at work. Come, Holy Spirit. And then, God, I know that the power comes from you. And we all have a different relationship with you. Some of us, we've never seen what you've done on the cross for us, how you served us and claimed it as our own. Help us to do that today. Say, yeah, that was for me. That was for me. God, for each of us, come now with your love and just show us what an incredible act of love that was, that you sacrificed yourself for us. You gave it all for us, your enemies, because you love us. Let that love melt our hearts. Make it to where we wouldn't have any other boss than you. Help it to go really deep in us now and just continue that process in us. of really understanding what the cross was about. What a big deal it is that the King of the universe died for us. Come, Holy Spirit. And then, God, as you change us, again, just send us out into the real world to really press into just practically living like you are our boss. Again, if the thing is that we underwork, we don't really make an effort, we're not, God, change that in us, heal us, help us to work like we're working for you. And on the other end, God, if we overwork and we're looking to work to give us things that we should only get from you, God, help us to have trust that you will provide for us. Only you can. Come, Holy Spirit. I ask that you just come and bring incredible life when it comes to our work. Come. You know, I'd like to invite the ministry team to come forward, and this is a great way to press further into this. If God's stirring anything up in you, or if nothing's happening and you're like, wait, I think I'm missing this, come up and let someone pray for you. Maybe you're not sure if you have a relationship with Jesus, and you're not sure if you really understand what Jesus did on the cross. Let Jesus explain it to you through the Holy Spirit. Receive his love in a new and powerful way today. Let someone pray for you. Maybe you're in a situation where your workplace is just, oh, there's trouble there, right? Your boss is just off the charts. You've suffered real pain and hurt at work, or you're just disillusioned. Let's pray for that. Or maybe you're at the other end where you're like excited to get in there and work for Jesus. Let us pray for that. Let's celebrate that and encourage that and pray for that this morning. Wherever you're at when it comes to your work, God has something to give you. In fact, if you need prayer in any area of your life, if you need prayer for physical healing, or you're struggling in your relationships or your finances, we would love to pray for you this morning. Come up and get some prayer. They're going to lead us in some more worship, and I would just encourage you, take a few minutes, listen to what else God has to say to you today. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard.